I'd like to speak for a few minutes this afternoon about something that we don't talk about a lot, I think, as Christians, and that is our self-esteem. We hear a lot about self-esteem in the world, and if you're connected with the education community, especially public education, self-esteem is a big issue. But how about for a Christian? If we have too much of it, that's a problem. We don't have enough. That also is a problem. What does God say about the way we should view ourselves? Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah, the first chapter. Jeremiah chapter 1. And I'd like to read out of that chapter, starting with verse 4. Jeremiah 1, starting with verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Then said I, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you to say, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." The Lord's telling Jeremiah and us something very important about the way he views us. The voice of God is proclaiming our extraordinary worth to him and to his plan to use us. This personal worth is inseparably tied to the fact that we were made by God. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." We were born in the mind of God before we ever entered our mother's womb. We were valuable to God before the world even began, because already we had begun in his mind and his imagination. We are the product of his creativity and his love. And that's something that can never change and can be never taken away from us. One of the only things that we cannot lose. Is this only speaking to Jeremiah here because God wanted him to prophesy? Well, I don't believe so. I believe God has a plan for each individual. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 4, he says, speaking of God, "who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth." God has a plan that we all should come to the knowledge of truth and be saved. Romans 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate and to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So God created and called humans to be like his Son. To be like Christ is our calling. God doesn't have to come down and speak to us with an audible voice and tell us some specific action that we should take. He's already called us, and he's told us that our purpose is to be like his Son. It's to become like Christ. This is how we glorify him and our purpose for being created. That's a wonderful calling. It's a wonderful purpose for us to have. And it shows that we are valued by God. The world's view of self-esteem seems to be always tied to our abilities or our talents in some way. We often tell our children, you can be anything that you want to be. Well, of course, that statement isn't necessarily always true, is it? No matter how hard I tried, I'd never be able to paint like Leonardo da Vinci. No matter how hard I tried, I'd never be able to play the piano like Van Cliburn. No matter how hard I tried, I'm never going to be able to sing like Josh Groban. And no matter how hard I tried or how hard I conditioned, I'm never going to be able to ride a bicycle like Lance Armstrong, no matter what I put into my veins. There's so many things that I cannot do. And the things I can do are often not as good as other people can do them. Children soon see this reality, even though we tell them they can do anything. They're smart enough to see that that statement's not true. And then what? Well, if you're connected with the public school system, you've probably seen lots of initiatives to build self-esteem. So they'll have a self-esteem month, and they'll have posters, and they'll have songs, and they'll have many pep rallies together to build children's self-esteem. We'll put them in one classroom and tell them how wonderful they are, and then in just a few moments, we'll usher them over to the science classroom and we'll tell them that they evolved from a piece of slime, that there's really no purpose in life. How absurd is the world's attempt to build self-esteem? The truth is, you can't be anything that you want to be. But here's another truth. You can be everything God wants you to be. You can't be anything you want to be, but you can be everything that God wants you to be. And that's where your identity and your self-esteem has to be based, or it's going to fall apart. Our culture places extreme value on such things as youth, outward beauty, athletical ability, intelligence, level of education, wealth, power, job status. But what happens when you see that you don't have these things, or that you had them once, but you lost them? What happens when Superman becomes a wheelchair man? What happens when the supermodel gains some super weight and gets super old? What happens when a super intelligent person has a stroke and loses the ability of their brain functioning? Or a superstar athlete ends up in jail or addicted to drugs? What happens? What happens when you lose your job? A lot of people build their self-esteem based on where they work and what their job is. What do you do then? Where do you get your feelings of esteem and personal worth when everything on which you've based your value has vanished? Well, so many people don't know how to deal with this. I looked up some statistics the last couple of days as I was thinking about this, and I found that in the last couple of years, there's been an average of 42,773 suicides per year. That works out to about 117 a day, just in our country, just in our nation. An average of one person every 12.3 minutes kills themselves. It's not just a young person or an old person issue, although one elderly person kills themselves every hour approximately, and one youth kills themselves about once every hour and 44 minutes. So it happens to all different ages. One thing that kind of stood out to me that I wouldn't have thought is the longer we live, the more people are going to be living in despair if they don't have the Lord. And one of the fastest growing areas of suicide attempts is in the 85 plus years. It increased about 10% in the last couple of years as the number of people that live to that age increase. So people without the Lord don't view themselves as having something to live for. Or they don't want to have to put up. They don't think it's worth putting up with what life has to offer. That there's not a purpose. And that's a sad thing. Now, I'm not saying that depression and suicide is all just linked solely to self-esteem. It's a complicated thing. But I do believe that's one of the contributing factors. A sense of despair. A sense of no longer having a purpose. A sense of not having something to live for. In this passage that we just read from Jeremiah, we see that an accurate view of ourselves comes from an understanding of how God views us. When God told Jeremiah that he valued him and he plans to use his life, Jeremiah replied that he was only a child. He couldn't possibly be of value to God. But God replied to Jeremiah, "Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go, and everywhere I send thee and what I command thee, thou shalt speak." Jeremiah didn't see the plans that God had for him or understand the value that God placed on him. His value was not in how he saw himself or even how others saw him, but his value was in how God saw Jeremiah. You may not seem like much in your own estimation, but it's who you are in God's eyes that really matters. If your self-esteem is based on how you see yourself or how others see you, then you're bound to be let down sooner or later. This will always give you a false sense of worth, whether too little or too much. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 3 and 4, says, you know, it really doesn't matter what other people say about me. It doesn't even matter what I think about myself. It's Christ who judges me. That was Paul's attitude. If you were to take a tour through a hospital or a nursing home or a school for developmentally disabled or mentally retarded children, you're going to see individuals who cannot take care of themselves. They cannot walk, some of them. They cannot feed themselves. They cannot speak. They can't communicate. Many of these people are totally dependent on society to care for them. They're not physically attractive. They can't perform some amazing or valuable function for society. They're not wealthy or powerful in any way. They're never going to earn an income. The only relationship some of them are ever going to have are with those who are their caregivers. Of what value are they? Well, according to the Scriptures, they are of immense worth to God. They are as much part of the creation as any other human being. And we know from several passages, one of which I'm going to quote now, Acts 10:34, God is no respecter of persons. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." In reality, people who seem to be the least are really God's gifts to us. He's teaching us that there's value in taking care of those who can never return the favor. God's showing us the value of human life when life is all an individual might have. Do we look the same way to God? Aren't we disabled in our sin? Aren't we doomed to die? Yet, God saw fit to help us. We learn another thing from God's discussion with Jeremiah. We learn a realistic view of ourselves comes from knowing the truth about what God can do for us. Jeremiah didn't have the ability in and of himself to do what God was asking him to do. Without God putting words in Jeremiah's mouth, he wouldn't have had anything of value to say. God wanted Jeremiah to know that he would help him fulfill his purpose. God did not want him to say, "I am only a child." He wanted Jeremiah to see what could be done if he relied on the Lord. John, the 15th chapter. If you will turn there with me, I've got a few verses I'd like to read. John 15. And I'll start with verse 1 there. We'll read down through verse 8. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in him, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. When we consider this, there's both good news and bad news here. The bad news is that we're really nothing without God. We don't amount to much. The good news is that with God, we're more than good, we're something special. There's eternal meaning and purpose to our lives. We can accomplish worthwhile things. We can bear God's fruit when we're in Him. You see, we're all sinners, and we have to realize that who we are and where our value comes from. In Romans, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse, Paul says, "But God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Ephesians 2 and 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We were created with a purpose. The purpose was to do good works. With Him, we can do those good works. We can serve that purpose. Peter tells us that we are more than just people. We are a chosen people. In 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, the 9th verse, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Paul tells us that no matter what our circumstances are, we can serve God. Our worth does not depend on our circumstances, the place we find ourselves in. Philippians 4 and 13, he says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." The third thing that we can learn from this passage in Jeremiah is that our humility is a key to allowing God to make us into something worthwhile. Jeremiah did not exalt himself. Rather, he maintained a sense of humility. He did not feel superior to others. Jesus is a supreme example of humility. In Philippians 2, verse 5, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus showed us that God takes the humble and uses them for His great purpose and exalts them. James, the 4th chapter, the 10th verse says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." So healthy self-esteem comes from humility, not from pride. We're actually seeking God's esteem, not our own esteem. The way the world talks about self-esteem, it almost sounds like it's a good thing to feel proud or arrogant, to be superior to other people. But here's what the Bible says about pride. Proverbs 11:2, "When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So it's much better to say about ourselves what Paul says about himself. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." So it is by the grace of God that we amount to anything. But with the grace of God, we are invaluable. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 3 and 4, says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." As we grow in God, if we grow in the Lord, we turn to focus from ourselves toward God. We focus on the gifts of others, and we rejoice with them that they have talents and abilities that may far exceed our own. There's always going to be someone who can do what we do better than we can do it. But we continue to do what God has called us to do. And this attitude is going to free us from the constraints of comparing ourselves with ourselves or comparing ourselves with others. We rely on the Lord to make us worthwhile. Whatever you do, work at it with all your might as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. You serve the Lord Christ. And that's Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. Don't worry about what you can't do. Concentrate on what you can do. Don't worry about whether it's as good as someone else. Do the best you can do. We yield ourselves to the will of God, and He uses us for His purpose. We become a vessel of honor if we sanctify ourselves to His work. 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 and 21, we're told that in a great house there are many vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor. But if we sanctify ourselves, in other words, if we prepare ourselves and allow God to use us, He will make us a vessel of honor. He'll make something important out of what we can do. We all are to be full of confidence because God has made us and has called us to serve Him. There's no one else like you in this world. God has seen to that. No one else has your particular personality. No one else has your gifts in the same measure you have. You look the way you do because that's the way He wanted you to look. You have exactly the amount of potential intelligence and ability as He planned for you to have. There's always going to be someone with more than what you have, but there will never be anyone exactly like you. You are His gift to the world, exactly as you are. You can disregard the gifts that God has given you and despise them. You can be jealous of what other people have and not use what you have yourself. Or you can pick up those abilities that God has given you and develop them to their fullest. You can try to live with your own strength, or you can lean upon His strength for the full development of what He has given you. What I'm trying to say in this is, one day your looks are going to change, your abilities are going to diminish, you're not going to be able to think or remember as you once did. You may lose your friends, you may lose your spouse. What then? On what will you base your self-esteem? Is your self-esteem based on your looks, intelligence, education, youth, or abilities? If so, then your self-esteem is going to be shattered. The only thing that will last, the only thing that no one can take from you, is your relationship with God and your value to Him. All your feelings about yourself, others, and life must come from Him, or you will live in disillusionment and despair. The relationship that you have with the Lord is going to be what guides you both in your youth and sustains you in your old age. It will provide you with the meaning and fulfillment that only God can give. The story is told of an American tourist in Paris who picked up an amber necklace in a trinket shop there. And when he arrived at New York, he went through the customs, and he was shocked at how high the duty was that he had to pay on this necklace that he picked up in the trinket shop. When he came home, he decided to take it to a jeweler. And the jeweler looked at it and told him that he would give him $25,000 for the necklace that he just paid a few dollars for in France. Well, he was stunned and suspected there was a reason for that offer. So he took the necklace to an expert and was going to have it appraised. And the appraisal come back at some astronomical amount. And when he asked the appraiser what had made the necklace so valuable, he told him to look through the magnifying glass. And he looked, and on the back of the stone was etched these words, "From Napoleon Bonaparte to Josephine." Well, it was the name on the necklace that gives it its worth, wasn't it? Inscribed on your life is the name of your owner. He has made you with his own hands. He has written his name across your life. Your value is found in that inscription. You belong to him, and he wants to use your life. He has made you, and you are his. You are unique. You are special because you are special to him. No one else can take your place in his heart, and neither can anyone take your place in this world. If you're here this afternoon and you're outside of the Lord, you're bound for despair because your purpose in life, your value in life, is based only on temporal things. But if you're in the Lord, if you belong to him, you are a wonderful, special creation, and what you have is worth beyond measure. If we can help you to bring meaning and purpose to your life by joining the Lord's church, please let us know as we stand and sing.